Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air.
A trip through Sri Lanka, an account of the environmental situation in this country. Interview with the Executive Director of the Center for Environmental Justice, Friends of the Earth Sri Lanka. Plastic pollution in Sri Lanka, a current issue at world level in environmental terms, and a study that reports about the presence of high levels of mercury in the local population, where there is a Chinese-built coal-fired power station, are some of the issues Sri Lankan activist Hemantha Withanage made reference to in an interview with Real World Radio. The Center for Environmental Justice, Friends of the Earth Sri Lanka, also produced its first position on single-use plastics and a publication about safeguarding people and the environment from so-called development projects. The interview with the activist is an account of the environmental situation in Sri Lanka and the measures to face it.
This power plant was established in 2012, and it's a very old power plant. So from the very beginning, we had many difficulties releasing ash into the air and releasing polluted very hot water into the ocean. It was coming again and again. So when the IPEN decided that they want to have a testing around the world in 10 countries, and we chosen the location as one of the sites for testing mercury in air samples. Next to the coal power plant, Putlam Lagoon is there. It's a huge lagoon with a lot of fishermen, and more than 10,000 families are depending on the fish comes from this lagoon. So we choose 36 women who are in the adult age, 18 years to 44 years. And then when the final results came out, and we found one of the women has 15 parts per million mercury in their hair samples, and a few others had 6 ppm, 7 ppm. And we found that more than 78% of the sample had more than 1 parts per million mercury in their hair. So this is a very, very high level. So it's very dangerous, and we don't know the situation with the women's health, because we still want to test mercury in the urine samples and as well as the mercury in the blood samples. So soon after this result was released, then the government, some of the agencies in the government was interested. Of course, the local authority in the area was interested. Central Environmental Authority was also interested. Then the Minister of Health and Indigenous Medicine in Sri Lanka was also interested to do more. Some of the things we proposed is that actually we don't know the mercury level in the coal burn in this coal power plant. So some of the government agencies agreed they will ask the coal specifications in the burned coal. According to our estimate, at least 2,000 kilograms of mercury have been burnt in this coal power plant, because the coal comes from Russia, Indonesia, and now they come from South Africa, and all of them contain serious levels of mercury in coal.
Hemantha, thank you for this. Then on February, we knew that 5 Slovakian individuals were in an attempt of biopirating specimens of insects, tissue samples from plants and animals that are being designated extincting from the Siniaraja forest, and they were arrested by the local wildlife authorities at the premises. Again, Hemantha, what can you let us about this case?
This particular case, actually, Singharaji is a virgin rainforest in Sri Lanka. It's a very small patch at the moment. It's only about 11,000 hectares, but it has very, very high biodiversity. Then in that particular day, so the forest department officers arrested 5 Slovakians who have collected more than 500 different samples of butterflies, various insects, and some seeds and some other animals from the national park. They have also collected some corals from the coastal regions. So when they were arrested, they had all these collected samples, and some of the samples were destroyed by the same people. But then they were produced to the court, and the court had made a very big fine for them. And the Center for Environmental Justice had the chance to go and see this raiding. So, and Mr. Janaka Vitanake joined the team, and he got all the pictures and the details of what they have collected. So it's a very bad situation in Sri Lanka, because there are some of the tourists, they come as the tourists and they go to the forest area, and Sri Lanka has a very high endemic species, so they go and collect. This is a serious biopiracy happening in the country for last several decades. It's unfortunate that we don't have good screening system, and when they were fined, they were blacklisted, but unfortunately they were allowed to go back to their country without spending prison time in Sri Lanka. So, but this is a bad precedent. But at the same time, it is good that at least the people know about what is biopiracy and how important this kind of virgin forest biodiversity for our country as well as for the whole world.
Okay, Samantha. Again, on February, we had a case of pollution by plastic. As you see, Samantha, we are trying to go through some of the most important, the major events related to the environment in your country in the last period. And there was a former Navy commander, Dr. Jayanath Kolombash, that says that Sri Lanka and a few other countries could be seriously affected by the Dead Sea of the 60,000 square kilometers created in the Bay of Bengal in the Indian Ocean. What is this case about, Himanta? Is pollution by plastic? What is happening there?
According to the 2010 information, the Sri Lanka has been identified as the fifth country dumping single-use plastics into the ocean. We have 103 rivers in Sri Lanka, all of these rivers sending plastic into the ocean. But not only Sri Lanka, but Bangladesh, India and Burma and all these Southeast Asian countries also sending this kind of single-use plastics to the ocean and especially to the Bay of Bengal. Very recently, one of the naval commanders from Sri Lanka found that at least 60,000 square kilometers of the Bay of Bengal has become a dead patch. And there's no life in that area. Only dirty plastics are mostly available in this particular location. And we see in the last several months, there are a lot of plastics washed into the Sri Lankan seashore. And sometimes we lose our tourism, and sometimes some of the areas, the tourist hotels has to close down, and the Marine Pollution Prevention Agency and several other non-governmental organizations and the volunteers go and do the beach cleaning all these years. So we have a very high consideration of this issue. And since last 2-3 months, we have started our campaign as the Center for Environmental Justice, as the Friends of the Sri Lanka. So we have started a campaign against the single-use plastics. And we found that the sachet packets, the small packets of various soap and washing powder, and all of them are very high in everywhere in Sri Lanka. So we started right into the government to ban all these single-use plastics. And tomorrow, on the March 19th, we are going to have a multi-stakeholder meeting inviting all the government and non-government partners to discuss about how do we advocate the government of Sri Lanka to ban single-use plastics.
By the way, Himanta, the Center for Environmental Justice, the organization that you are the executive director, you produced the first position, that's a position paper on the single-use plastics based on the Sri Lankan situation. Have you had any kind of response from the government about this publication, Himanta?
We produced this document only 2 weeks ago, and we shared with the government. In fact, we wrote a strong letter to the government, and because this is especially the budget time and the budget speech, they have already spoke about the banning of the single-use plastics, which is about the lunch sheet and the shopping bags and some other single-use plastics. So they will spend some time, government budget allocations this year to ban. And they have set the date, 2019, September 1st, they want to bring these new regulations to ban single-use plastics.
Okay, Himanta, finally, you produced at the end of last year also a new publication on safeguarding people and environment from the development projects. What is the main goal of this new text, Himanta?
In recent years, we found that most of the infrastructure development happening in Sri Lanka does not follow the proper safeguard. Some of the multilateral bank provided funds like the Asian Development Bank, World Bank, had some little control, but unfortunately most of the money right now comes from China and other bilateral sources. Now these projects, excessive projects, or maybe sometime it's a overdevelopment, all the time, so they just approve the project without going through a proper and strong environmental safeguard. So we decided that, okay, so our law is very, very old. It's 25 years old now. and it doesn't provide the new impact assessments. For example, the climate impact assessment is not included. Archaeological impact assessments are not included. So in that situation, so we need a better safeguard policy rather than just project-specific environmental impact assessment. So in order to do that, so we went through various best practices around the world, and we found that pre-prior informed consent is one of the important aspects that we should bring, especially to get the consent of the local people and the indigenous communities. And also, we found that meaningful participation is a strong approach in most of the countries. And also, beyond the environmental impact assessment, strategic environmental assessments are done in many of the countries, and also they have very strong environmental impact assessment in some of those developed countries, and especially the multilateral development banks. So we need the Sri Lankan government to respect those international best practices, and we cannot depend on 25-year-old law anymore, because our natural resources, our environment, our people and people's territories and the individual rights are very, very important for all of us. And we don't have any more resources to destroy. Every tree, every resource should be protected. So therefore, we think that the new best practices around the world should be brought into Sri Lanka, and new development projects should be regulated under the new approaches. So that is why we brought this new publication, and we already had a national conference with all the parties, United Nations Development Programme, IUCN, and many other organizations involved. And we identified the gap analysis of the past environmental impact assessment process, and we found that the governments are not doing feasibility studies of the development projects. They expect the environmental impact assessment to fulfill all these requirements. So it is not the right process. So all these agencies are now advocating the government decision making to make change this law and bring the new regulations to save the environment and safeguard people and the environment.
Okay, Himanta Witanage is the executive director of the Center for Environmental Justice, Friends of the Earth Sri Lanka. Himanta, thank you very much for guiding us through those several aspects in which your organization has been working on in the last months and in the last weeks also. Thank you very much, Himanta.
Thank you, Jose. Thank you so much for the Real World Radio.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words. Building popular communications by FOI.